All right, great to have you back with us. The professor joins us. Whoa, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Marty. Well, I have to tell you, we're one game away from the All-Star break, and we have the best record in baseball. And I'm sitting here in the stands watching the grounds crew get the field ready. I couldn't be better. I couldn't be better. It's going to be nice to have some games off to rejuvenate and get ready for the stretch run.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, it's seeing you out on the field in that uniform yesterday and really catching a ground ball that was a tough chance for you, Wo. Is it the uniform? Is it the creamsicle uniform, the good humor man uniform?
That might have motivated me a little bit. You know, when I made that play, Castro looked at me, the third baseman, and he said, wow. And I looked back and I said, easy play. So, of course, it was probably one of the greatest plays I ever made in my life, but I wasn't going to tell him that.
It's funny. Hey, Farmer's Market, Colleen Edwards let me know out of River Islands, the Farmer's Market is going out there. Are you a Farmer's Market guy?
Oh, love a Farmer's Market. They have one in Pleasant Hill. I love when I'm on the road and you go for a walk and you run into a Farmer's Market. I always pick up a piece of fruit, you know, and nibble on something. But no, it's the best. It's summertime, and I can't imagine how good it's going to be up there with all that fertile land they have growing things. You know, they have the great events, during Halloween, the Oktoberfest and the pumpkins and all the stuff they have to do up there. That's fantastic. I mean, what an area, what a community. And that place is booming. It's still going strong and a lot more homes to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. Best place is go online at riverislands.com and you can start looking. Did you know that I have a nectarine named after me?
Well, I should have known that. No, of course yeah. Not. Well, what
all
is
right.
This all about?
Cashewasi Farms, they're very famous. They're all many of the farmers markets around the Bay Area. Lisa Cashewasi, great Giants fan. I mean, really a huge fan, the whole family from the Valley. And, I love fruit, and there was a nectarine. And I said, boy, these are really good. And she said, okay, we're going to call it Marty's Favorite. And around this time of year, it comes out. And believe it or not, it's in the display thing, you know, the box, and it says Marty's Favorite on there. How about that?
Oh, that's great. I'm going to have to look for one of those when I get a chance.
It's fun. All right, let's talk Brandon Crawford. Well, what can I say about this guy, you know? And as I put out the questions today, National League MVP, you've worked with him since he's a baby, so to speak, in the big leagues. But to see him turn these double plays this week with Solano and just the season this guy is having, well, I mean, how do you explain it? And it must be something for you to watch and really enjoy.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It brings a smile to my face just seeing what he's doing and being an all-star. You know, the last few years he's a little banged up. He had a knee. He always battled an elbow in spring training. I think he's completely healthy. He's made those adjustments at the plate, and that's the big change for me. I mean, we've seen him do this on defense, you know, multiple times. He just seems to be fresher, more mature. You know, when you get older, you know how to conserve yourself a little bit better for the games, and it's just all coming together. And you know, he's feeling good about himself, and he's confident, and he's healthy, and those things go a long way. But yesterday, another home run. He's taken swings on balls that consistently, he hasn't had, that down period where he's gone through, you know, what we would call a slump. And he just looks great. I'm so happy for him. And it's, you know, one of the main reasons we are where we are.
What about the double plays this week? It looked like the old World Series double play with Joe Panik, the two that he turned with Solano. And Solano made a nice play on the second one because the ball was not hit very hard.
Yeah, no, you're right. Solano did a nice job to come get that ball. He didn't lay back on it because it was going to be bang-bang at first. So he came in, and that made the play with the strong feed to Craw. And, of course, once Craw gets the ball in his hands, he's got one of the quickest exchanges and best arms in the game, and he makes that look easy. But you're right, the glove flip play up the middle, which, you know, I always put my fingers over my nose when they do that in practice, like, that stinks. But it sure didn't stink the other day. That was the only way he could make the play. He dove outstretched, caught the ball in the glove, and then glove flipped to Solano, who barehanded the ball, which was going to be the quickest, and it was an easy flip for him to do that. That's another finger on the nose that stinks, but that's the only way he could have turned that play. And what a big play in the game. That was a great game. You know, it was a good baseball game for the fans. There was offense. There was defense. There was some base running. And you're right. Defensively, we played outstanding. Really, you know, in every area. You don't get to be the best team in baseball to this point with really having a weak area in your game.
No, the defense was great. In fact, let's go to school with the professor on Sunday morning. Cross through par out at the plate. And you guys were sort of in, but not exactly in. And I know there's a strategy involved in that defense. Well, what went on there? Because you got him by a good margin at the plate.
Yeah. Gerardo, he's not running as well as he did when he was younger. He's up there in years. And, of course, we have that information. And we were playing in a three-depth. Three-depth is in between double play and all the way up on the grass. If it's a slower runner. And not that he's a donkey by no means, but, you know, with Craw's ability to come get the ball and with his strong arm, he can play a little bit deeper. But, you know, it wasn't an easy play. He ranged up the middle, and then he had to throw, you know, off balance and flat-footed. Of course, he made a perfect throw and a perfect tag, and he was out. So that was a big play in the game. Well, the biggest play in the game, because they had second and third at that point with Trey Turner at the plate with one out, and it was a gutsy call. By Cap to want to play the infield at three depth because that ball squeaks through. Now they have the lead and they have a speed guy on first, and now we're trailing by one instead of winning. So it was a big call, big play, and executed perfectly.
Yeah, very good. And Parr was thrown out at the plate earlier. Duggar nailed him at the plate by a good margin. And I know you had a feel for a little bit for the third base coach in that play.
Yeah, you know, I watched it, obviously. I saw it happening, and I thought Bobby Henley got a little close to third base. The outfield was way in because it was the pitcher hitting. Whenever the pitcher's hitting, if fans watch, the outfield plays very shallow. It's hard to score a guy from second because they're playing so shallow. They want the pitcher, you know, to beat him over the head, and how often does that happen? So they were way in. And Duggar got the ball on a one hop, and Bobby Henley gave him the half-hearted hold sign. He threw his hands up a little. It was early, but it wasn't a full stop. It was like he got caught in between, and Parra kept going. And you know, and our outfielders throw. Excuse me, I still have this nagging cough, but you know, our outfielders throw once a series. You know, they do the cutoffs and relays, and they throw to the plate. And you know, I think that's a big part of the reason that he was able to throw him out is, you know, they're practicing that. And not many teams do that anymore. It's almost like taking infield. We take an outfield and the guys throw to the bases and they throw home. And it certainly paid off there. And Duggar made a great throw.
Is that new, Wo? Because I don't remember teams doing that as much, even the Giants. Is that new for you guys?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, our guys would throw. You know, the catchers would come out and throw early. The outfielders would come out early and throw to second and throw to home on their own maybe once a week. But we do it with our ground ball work. We do it as a group the first day of the series. So everybody's out there, and it's not a full infield. The outfielders throw to the bases, and then we do the ground ball work with the players as a group. We used to not do it early as a group. We do it during batting practice. You'd have guys out early and you'd work with usually the extra guys. But we let the older guys stay in longer and they would come out during BP, like Crawford and Panic always work together and they would do their routine, but it's worked well for us. I think that, you know, one great benefit of it, I see a lot more concentration from the guys. It's like when you take an infield and an outfield, you know, guys don't want to throw the ball bad. They don't want to be missing balls. So there's a little more concentration with the infielders taking the ground balls like this. And the infielders played great. And it's really paying off.
Yeah, it shows. Look, you got the number one defense in the league, and I think you're second or third in outs created or whatever the analytic is in all of baseball. So, but, you know, it's funny. And thinking about this season, I think about 2010, 12, 14, even 16, and those teams, and I look at this team and I say, you got so many injuries, you got so many new players, you got people coming up and down. What is the strength of this team? What makes this team the best team in baseball right now?
Well, you know, you mentioned 10, and, you know, that was a little different team because we had such dominant pitching. And I think the strength of this club is so far has been the depth. You know, the depth of the club and the ability to mix and match and put up a good at bat. With the injuries we have, if I would have told you, you know, we're still winning games with Posey out, Longo out, Belt out, you know, that's usually you find yourself in a small losing streak when you're losing that quality of player. And we've had our share of injuries just like everybody in baseball. But the guys that are stepping up, you know, Lamont Jr. or Wade, you know, he's doing. Everybody that steps in is contributing. Estrada is contributing now, and it's just been the story of the season for me. You know, that these guys are we're not missing a beat when we have these injuries, and that is simply amazing. And of course, the offense. You know, the offense and the way we're able to score runs and grind out at bats has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. And here I go. I'm not going to continue with the defense and the pitching. So we're doing it all. But I think you got to look at the depth. And if we didn't have this depth, I don't think we'd be where we're at. So I would probably point that as the number one thing at this point in time.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, Vossler, as you told me in spring training, he can swing the pole. He's had a lot of big hits. And you look at Casale, believe it or not, the guy was like 3 for 70, and now he's, you know, 21 for 102 or something. So it really is people stepping up. It's really been pretty good. Bill, join us here. Bill, I'll ask you the question. What is this key to this ball club? What makes this ball club special here?
I say pitching, pitching, pitching. You can't get enough pitching. And, boy, what DeSclafani yesterday and Gausman, those two guys have been lights out the first half. One of the questions I wanted to ask you, Ron, good morning,
I want you to
focus on Tyro Estrada. He has just been lights out since he's come up from AAA, hitting 360, of course, playing left field and then coming in to play shortstop. How valuable do you think he'll be the second half?
Well, the thing about him is a utility player. He gives you a nice at bat. You know, he's quiet at the plate. He can hit a fastball, and he's off to a good start. And, you know, he's got a chance to play 3-4 games in a row, and he's feeling a big part of this, and he's staying sharp. So those are all positive things. But to your point, Bill, I mean, he's very important because we know Flores is up in age. He can't play every day. Solano benefits from off days. You know, Crawford. We've always tried to get him off days because it's such a demanding position. So he's going to play an important part. And with the lack of the right-handed bat right now in the outfield, he's getting a start and left. Now, he hasn't been tested yet defensively, but that's okay. We just want him to make the routine play and give a good at bat, and he's done that. And you just mentioned his stats. So, again, guys that are stepping in are contributing. And it's a big part of our success, no doubt about it.
Well, it's nice to see him put the bat on the ball. He hit a couple of balls, if you add them up, maybe 80 feet yesterday and drove in a couple of runs. So not striking out is a big deal, putting the bat on the ball. That's what I see.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pretty impressive. I told Donnie Acker yesterday, I said, you know, I talked to Tyro Estrada about bunting when the third baseman's back. You know, that'd help him out and give him a sign and let him know. And the next day he comes up there and he's got two swinging bunts. And I said, hey, if you want to bunt like that with the full swing, that's even better because the guy's not expecting the bunt. He sees the swing. But I'm being facetious, obviously. But those were well-placed balls and two RBIs on them.
Well, the other guy is rough. Is the one that we have to highlight here. Number one, the defense at first. And Flores tests him all the time. I'm not sure what Flores is thinking about in some of those throws. Maybe you'll help us out on that. But, well, he hit a ball the other night, the home run. That was Andres Galarraga territory. And he's a force at the plate.
Yeah, no, you're right. And now I want to go back to Bill's comment about pitching. And, you know, we can't overlook how good the pitching's been. And when you hold the other team down, you don't need a bunch of runs. And I think our run differential is through the roof because we do score and we do pitch, which are the two most important things. But Ruff, again, you know, belt down. Wade Jr. was getting the majority of at-bats at first base against righties. And it's nice to see, you know, Ruffy, he's the last one we have, him and Vossler, and he's playing against right-handers, and he's a great hitter. I mean, he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and we know how important that is when you can get a couple runs with one swing of the bat. So, again, you know, everybody that gets an opportunity is cashing in on it.
You know, Ruff will work the count. I mean, he sees like five pitches per at bat, and, you know, for a power hitter, it's kind of unusual. And I'll ask Bill this question. You know, you get a hitter who comes up there, you know he's going to take, and you know he wants to work the count. Do you go right at him, or do you nibble? What do? Do you challenge him right away?
I think one of the things that we've seen that pitchers have done well against the Giants to overcome this offense is to throw strike one. And today's pitcher, Eric Fetty, did that in that seven-inning game in Washington, and I think that's what most of these pitchers are doing to get ahead. You saw Kim do it with St. Louis. He said, hey, these guys like to watch pitches. I'm going to challenge them the first couple pitches, and I think that's what Giants hitters are going to have to watch the second half, Ron, and try to get that first pitch, and I think a lot of pitchers are going to try to do that the second half.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill. I think that, you know, they're not up there taking. They're just being very selective in the zone. You know, they have a good game plan. Our hitting guys, Justin Vealy and Dustin Lynn and Donnie, they do a great job with the game planning. And they have a specific plan against each pitcher. They know the pitcher's strength. They know where they like to get the guys to chase. And they're being very selective in the zone. And that's what good hitters do. And it's made a lot of our hitters into better hitters. And to Bill's point, you know, you have to attack those guys early and say the heck with it. If you got good stuff, you got to get ahead and attack them. And you're right, Bill. You know, some teams that have done that have had a little success. But you better not do it too much either because these guys, they can hit. And, you know, if they get a pitch they can handle, they're still going to hit it.
Boy, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. This team is number one in Major League Baseball, Woe. And as I said, who knows what we've got ahead in the second half. A lot of challenges, but, boy, what a first half. The All-Star break, it is our traditional, you know, sort of breaking point. We're getting close to the 90th game. I think it's 89 today. But you've been through a bunch of All-Star games with Dusty and, of course, with Bruce Bochy. And the All-Star week for players, it is challenging. I've been to a number of All-Star games, and you know, they have that press conference Monday morning, and they've got the home run derby, the game, and now they got a parade. A lot of players are opting out, and I understand it. But you've been there. This is not a simple 3 days for a player. This is a big commitment.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you're an all-star, you want your family to be part of it, obviously. And there's a lot of travel plans involved. I remember when we had to go to New York, we ended up in Arizona, and we had to take a private plane to New York, and you get in the middle of the night, and the next day, you know, they have the home run derby, and it is exhausting. And then you bring kids into the picture, and, you know, they want the players in the parade. There's really no time to relax. And I think that's why you see a lot of guys, you know, that have been there before maybe opting out just because they need the rest and they're more concerned about, you know, their season and what's happening in the regular season. It's an honor to go. You know, I think they respect that honor. But I don't know, maybe baseball needs to take a look and give another day off in there to make it a little bit easier. Some years you only have 3 days off. And you got a home run derby, you got the All-Star game, you got to fly cross country, then you kind of come back and start, you know, start the second half. It's very taxing. So I don't know what the answer is, but you're right, Marty. It does take a lot out of them.
Yeah, it's been going on since it started in 1933, and there was a Bob Feller, of course, the great Hall of Famer. There was great controversy in the late 40s because he opted not to go. He said, you know, for the reasons that you just said, you know, I got my second half coming up. I got my season, my arm, and this and that. And it became sort of an epidemic with a few other players, and baseball went nuts about it. And the reaction from the citizenry the fans, so to speak, if that's a word. They wanted the players to be there, and they forced Feller to go to the game. So it's been around for a while, I will tell you that. So we'll see what happens with that. Well, the last thing I want to mention to you, and that is the wall. And playing a ball off the wall, we've seen a few balls, or Doug or Slater, kind of get caught near the wall, and the ball doesn't go out, and then the ball caroms off and goes past them. How do you have to make that play?
Yeah, well, it's a difficult play, Marty. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's easier for an infielder, like you're ranging over to the first base or the dugout wall, you know. The ball goes up. You got time to get there. And what you're taught, when you get about 10 feet from the wall, you want to you want to see the ball, obviously. Then you want to actually glance at the wall and get a visual in your mind how far away it is. And then you want to sprint to that wall and get to it and then back away and then look up and pick up the ball again. So now you put your hand on the rail or the wall, you know where it's at, and now you can back away from it and move towards the infield again if need be. And, you know, you see that play messed up, but that's a lot easier because you have the time. The ball's in the outfield when an outfielder's running full blast, and they got a lot more risk of injury involved there, and some guys are really good at it, but you got to do the same thing. You got to pick up the ball. You got to glance at the wall. That's why they have the warning track there. It's 10 feet wide, and the warning track is there if people don't know. So if you can't, you know, pick up, look to the wall, you start hitting that dirt, and you just know how many steps you are away from the wall before you're going to crash into it. And that's why there's a warning track. But it's a difficult play, especially if it's a line drive. It's a higher ball and you got time to get behind it. Then it's a lot easier. But those line drives, it's a difficult play. Just like the line drive that goes over the infield head and the outfielder's coming in, the infielder's going back. It's one of those looping liners. And the communication, we have communications on that. But you know there's going to be a collision. And it's just a difficult play. And some people, you know, they're not afraid to crash into the wall. Some people shy away. So it's one of those plays that you work on. You hit line drives over their head, and you have them pick up the ball, look at the wall, and work the wall so they get used to making that play.
Well, Willie Mays never ran into a wall, I'll tell you that. And his opinion was, if the ball is in the park, I'll catch it. That's what he used to say. But he never would run into the wall. That's what he used to do. Hey, well, we've got our contest going today. I'm not going to ask you to predict the score of the game, but I will ask Bill for his prediction. What we do is we ask the folks to tweet in at Baseball Marty the score of today's game, and the winner gets dinner for two at Original Joe's in North Beach, West Lake, or at West Portal. So, Bill, I'll let you go first here, of course. Your score for today?
Well, they scored 10 yesterday. They scored 5 on Friday, so I'm going to have them score 12 today. So they're going to win 12-1. The bullpen's going to give up a run today.
That's your traditional pick.
I'm waiting for it. I keep asking about it. I mean, Ron, get that arm going. Get some runs today.
Okay, all right.
I'll see what I can do for you, Bill. And, Marty, if you could, if nobody wins today, I like that Original Joe's myself. If nobody can win it outright, maybe you can slide it this way.
All right. Well, Raff breaks all ties, so we'll just put your name in there anyway. So we'll do that. All right. Well, look, have a great break. I didn't even ask what you're going to do over the break, but I'm sure you're going to relax and take care of yourself. And a tremendous, tremendous first half. A lot of good questions for the second half. But, boy, well, this has been fun, I must tell you.
Yeah, it has been, and it's been great being on with you and Bill, and I look forward to it next Sunday when the second half starts, and I hope we can enjoy the All-Star game and everybody stays healthy through that.
Well, get well, Ron.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say get well, get some rest, get that cough out of your body until you get to St. Louis.
And, Bill, tell Woe who's coming up next here.
One of Woe's best friends, Jose Agassiz, got to sit down with him on Friday to talk to him. So great guy. Of course, he's doing very well in Richmond, Ron, and he always says hello to you.
Yeah, no, Augie, sure, we stay in touch. He managed the Venezuelan team there trying to qualify for the Olympics. He's doing a great job in AA, and we had a lot of good years together, and I miss him. So that should be a great interview for your listeners.
Very good. Well, take care of yourself. Okay, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. All right, more coming up. Bill, we'll take a break, and Augie, you'll be next with us. I can't wait to hear what he's got to say about Richmond. And we've got much more coming up on a very special day in baseball as we head into the break. So many good things to talk about. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.